I just finished recording an episode with Irma Guzan. She actually said it's called Irma Guzan. Okay. So, Irma is a TEDx speaker, keynote speaker, and author. And it was really mind-blowing what she shared with me, because some of the things she shared with me was, no one had ever discussed that on a podcast before. And so, great episode. You guys know what the deal is. We don't run ads. We don't have sponsors. Everything is bootstrapped. So the only way or one way that you can support us is by sharing this episode, subscribing to our YouTube channel, Spotify, or Apple Podcast, and helping us get the word out there. And we need more eyeballs and more ears to pay attention to what we have and what we share on the podcast. And please support us, get the message out there. And I hope you enjoy the show. Welcome to the Immigrant Entrepreneurs Show, where our mission is to inspire, impact, and influence other immigrant entrepreneurs and support them in creating the future and the dream they want. My guest today is the TEDx speaker, keynote speaker, and author, Irma Guzan. Irma, welcome to the show.
Ali, thank you so much for having me here today. It's a wonderful day here in Canada, and I'm sure where you are, it might also still be a little bit winter time, but otherwise, I appreciate being here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure having you on. It's actually, I'm in Switzerland, by the way, and it's actually a premiere for us for the show, having our first TEDx speaker on the show. So I'm really excited for this conversation, Irma, and thank you for taking the time. So Irma, you're in Canada, obviously, but give us an idea how you ended up there and, you know, how you got there.
I was born and raised in South Africa. And that's a very interesting question, because some people don't realize that the world is so big, but it's really so small. Anyway, growing up with violence, with sleeping with a gun underneath my pillow, with driving with it on my lap, with having a gun and someone sitting at the pool, if any kids were swimming in the pool, that was my reality. That is the way I lived. And then my daughter's daycare was attacked in broad daylight. It was absolutely horrendous because they were soft targets. And that was the final straw. Mm-hmm. You know, as a parent, anything can happen to you. You will fight for your children. You will fight for their safety. And people can hurt you, and they can bring harm to you, but not to the children. And so after all I've gone through, and I've been accosted and attacked as well, I decided that this is it. We're going to the US, where we went to Texas and were there for 4 years, which was an amazing opportunity to find out that you can be free. Mm-hmm. It's okay to go for a walk outside of your house without a weapon, and it's okay to take your dog for a walk, your kids for a walk. It's okay for them to play outside. They won't be killed or kidnapped. So from Houston and that huge awakening of life is actually different. It can be so different. We then had the opportunity to move to Canada, and we've been here ever since, where my kids grew up. And, you know, you would think that because Canada and the USA are in North America, they are the same. They are, and they're not. So you have to adapt in so many different ways to each culture and each country, because at the end of the day, you're the guest. Mm-hmm. I had that mindset that I am the guest. I will behave. I will contribute to the economy. I will prove to the Americans and to the Canadians, I will prove to them that I do belong in their countries. I am allowed to be here because I bring my part. And that was my journey in a nutshell.
That's amazing. It reminds me of my first episode of the podcast when I got into the US, you know, after a couple of, after some time I started this podcast. And then I remember I said, hey, thanks for letting me in. And I'm not going to, I do whatever it's in my power to not disappoint. So it reminds me of that. Absolutely. We appreciate, you know, coming from myself, I was born in Iran. I experienced as a child, I experienced war between Iran and Iraq. And, you know, coming to Switzerland in my case, and just having peace of mind, just experiencing peace, was something that I was appreciating so much, still do. And, you know, it's something that if you haven't lived outside of the Western society, you don't know what it means. You know, that's why we immigrants are also so appreciative with everything that we experience in a new place that we move to. So this being said, what made you decide that, you know, to do what you do today? That is something that when I was researching and, you know, going through your content and your keynote speaking gigs and everything, I was like, what keeps the fire in you? What makes you do what you do?
I was fortunate in South Africa that I could study engineering. And so when I moved to the US, I had to almost downgrade what I did in South Africa to what I was allowed to do in the US. And then, of course, again in Canada, because I made the choice not to go back to university to validate my qualifications. But that being said, the one thing I noticed, and in the surveys I have done and with the youth and their parents that I've worked with, is that immigrant women usually are not allowed to work in their new country when they are married. So they come with their experiences, they come with their qualifications, their vast knowledge that they can offer to the new country, but because they're from a different country, they're not allowed to use that. And so we as women used to being the nurturers and working with the kids, and I was in a different position. I was able to work, so I did work. But what I noticed was that you get to a new country and you're lost. You feel so lost. Where do you go? What do you do? How do you connect with like-minded people? And the other thing I noticed is that with the youth that I've been working with, they put so much pressure on themselves. You know, they leave their countries. The parents expect them to succeed in the schools. The parents also expect them to guide them through this labyrinth of experiences in the new country where they only kids, but it makes them stronger. But on the other hand, it also puts them under so much pressure that they start having issues. And to give you just a quick idea, we worked with a young girl, and she from Korea, and she came with her parents when she was 12, and she was 17 when we spoke with her. And she said she put so much pressure on herself to not only please her parents, but also the family back home, because the parents sacrificed so much that she wants to succeed so badly, she gets nosebleeds constantly. And she has learned to identify them as being stressed. So immigrant women, then, they need to know how to really adapt in the new country. And that is where they go through the legal things. You know, they work with the lawyers, they get their visas, they're allowed to stay in the country. But where I work with them, what I talk to them about is you can write your own book. You can join an organization where leadership skills are taught, like Toastmasters. You can create new skills. You can work on skills by just going to the library. You can find your fellow countrymen or women in your community. So I help them see that at the end of the day, they can change and shift the way they think about life and about their role in the new country, and instead stand up as the leaders they truly are. Because I believe women are as much leaders as the men, as the youth. And that is what I focus on with them.
I love that. So is it basically, for our audience to understand a little better what you do, is it basically you support women entrepreneurs to pursue the dreams and, you know, to tap to their full potential?
Yes, immigrant women specifically, because I understand where they come from. I understand the feelings of hopelessness when, even though I could work, I was still lost. I had to learn to drive on the other side of the road. I had to find a school for or a daycare for my daughter. Mm. I had to discover the monetary system. I had to figure out, how do you get a driver's license?
Right.
You know, when you used to be so independent, mm-hmm. even though I lived in a country where there was so much violence and it wasn't really safe, but those are different items that puts a lot of pressure on people. I listened to your podcast where you said you wanted to take care of your family so badly mm-hmm. that you felt almost as you might be letting them down because you weren't doing what you thought you should be doing. And this is where I want to come in and say, the fact that everyone talks about that imposter syndrome, mm-hmm. it's a lie. It's not imposter syndrome. It's a pressure we put on ourselves, Ali.
Right. That's very true. That's very true. Absolutely. Oh, you made me think now. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. So Irma, you know, normally I'm like the one doing leading and driving the conversation, but now you flip the script. So, okay, let's get back into it. So how do you do that? Is basically the model you have, is it a nonprofit? People come and then you support them? What does it look like?
For education purposes, I do speak on stages. Mm-hmm. I spoke at Oxford University in the UK in October. I am speaking at Columbia University next month, actually, in New York. I've spoken at the local university here. Then I also speak on other stages. And what I do is I educate. Mm-hmm. Everywhere I go, I educate. Then as far as the modules and how I work with that, I focus primarily working through organizations because they have access to funding. And then I can help the women and the youth through them. I also work with a group where we work with youth. We put together some programs where we teach them what it takes to stand up and take on leadership roles so that when they are in class, they can have the confidence that it is okay to stand up. It is okay to say, I can do it, even if they don't know how to do that. And so that is what I work on.
And what are, I have so many questions and I can't wait to ask them. But before we get there, what are the requirements for these women entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs to work with you and get the support and mentorship and education from you?
As long as they can speak English, mm-hmm. my mother tongue is Afrikaans.
Right.
So I can help with that. But as long as they speak English, I can help them.
Oh, wow.
They are immigrants. I can help them to work through these soft skills because that's really what we need to survive, is when all the legal things are said and done, you need the soft skills to survive. You know, like you and I, we needed to be able to work through our laptops and mics and headphones today. Those are skills that are necessary in today's world, I believe. And that so is similar to being able to walk into a store and be confident and not get angry when people don't understand you, but teach them through your actions that you are willing to learn. But you know what, Ali, it works the same way for the long-term residents in a country. When someone who's from a different country come up to them and ask them a question, don't get impatient because you struggle understanding them. They are new. Give them the benefit of the doubt. And because they pay to be in your country, help them. Welcome them. Ask them, how can you help? You know, I know of a library that's closer to where you live. Why don't you go there? I'll show you how the system works. Just an example, right? So it's a two-way street every single time. We as legal immigrants, how we approach the long-time residents, but again, the long-time residents, how do you approach immigrants? Because people don't realize that legal immigrants versus illegal immigrants or immigrants allowed to ask for asylum are two different items completely. A legal immigrant pays. They pay lawyer fees. They pay to leave their country. They pay to move their items. I left with two suitcases. I was only allowed to take out a certain amount of money out of my country. They held back the rest. So it's a two-way street for all of us. And today there are so many people moving from country to country and every single time paying to be in that new country. And that is what I focus on, that you've paid your dues. Now it's time to figure out how do you fit into your new country, into your new community.
And speaking of so many people that immigrate, you have some mind-blowing numbers to share. So give us the statistics. I'm all ears.
All right. So I mentioned that in my TEDx talk as well for those who would like to watch it. And I'm just going to look over a little bit. I do have the facts. And that it's that 25% of all public U.S. companies backed by venture capital investors were started by immigrants. So just like you and I, Ali, and they all
can you give us can you give us some examples of this of these big companies?
Absolutely. All right, hold on to your seats. It's Google, eBay, Intel, Yahoo.
Wow.
You name a few. They were all started by immigrants. I was blown away when I saw these statistics. And yes, there is another statistic, and that is about close to the US numbers of inhabitants. That's the same amount of number, about 281 million, if I have it correct, that immigrated or migrated worldwide in 2021. Wow. So think about it. If we are, I'm in North America, so I talk about Canada and the US, but think about almost the entire population of the US just upping and leaving out of the country, gone. That is how many people that have immigrated worldwide that have paid to move to different countries worldwide. That's the number that we talk about. And that is why there are immigrants all over the globe. And we are becoming a uni world where we all want the same thing, really. And it's just to fit in, to belong, and to survive in your new country.
100%. Wow, that's mind-blowing. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, obviously, you get to talk to a lot of immigrants and a lot of female immigrants also. I do have my own experience, but I want to hear your opinion, the opinion from an expert. What are the some commonalities when you talk to these immigrants? Some things that you see, hey, these characteristics stand absolutely out and are common between immigrants. What are those?
Absolutely. As I said earlier, I have sent out so many surveys that I had asked these questions. And even speaking to immigrants as well, the first one, do your research on the customs of your new country. Be respectful. Mm-hmm. That's the first one. The second one, learn the basics of that country's language before you go there, that you can help yourself, that you can ask, where is the closest bank? Where can I find a realtor? How can I find a school? Basic things. So that is the other thing. The next thing is not being prepared to perhaps have to go back to school to enhance your qualifications, your degrees, because your new country expected. So do your research on that. What is it going to cost you? Because it's going to be at your own costs. Another thing, money. You know, you need to have something to fall onto. You need to have something in the bank that will help you get through your first few months. Save up your money and make sure you can survive. Because many people, they get to a new country and then they expect the country to take care of them. But even though they're legal, but they didn't do their homework. And then the last thing is very, very important, is that find out where the biggest communities of your country might be. But don't just stick with the new communities. Make sure you start volunteering at the schools and make sure you volunteer in your community. That's huge. And so many told me once they started doing that, their lives and their perspectives changed. So these are just a few of the things I've come across.
Right. So tapping on the last one, is it also because they get to now, you know, when they come into a new community and start giving back and supporting, is it also because whatever this community might be, they see, hey, these people or these immigrants are interested and they're willing to adapt and they're willing to support and give back. So the support they receive in exchange is also way bigger than someone who would just hold back and do nothing. What do you think about that?
I think so. But for me, the biggest takeaway is that when you, as a new fellow country person, as a new immigrant in a new country, when you volunteer, you not only have the opportunity to learn about your new country while you're volunteering, but you also have the opportunity to share your customs, your ways of life, the way you used to do things, the way you had to adapt now in your new country. Some of the things that might be different and that people wouldn't know about is the way the climate is controlled in where you come from to where you go to. So by volunteering, if you cannot work, you will discover some of the intricacies of how to control the climate. Now, when I was in Houston. We only had aircon, but I knew about air conditioning. I knew it's a system. I knew it existed. But when I moved to Canada, I did not know there is such a thing as central heating. Mm. I didn't. And it took our Canadian babysitter to come into the house and say, but why is your house so cold? You're not going to make the winter if it's this cold. If your furnace is broken, you need to have it fixed. And I had no idea. Right. I had no idea. She had to go and take me to the wall, you know, where the, where the little pocket thing was, and say, slide it. That's the temperature. Put it in.
Right.
I didn't know that. So by volunteering, you will learn all these things.
That's a very good point. So with the immigrants that you get in touch, or they get in touch with you, what is, I wonder, what is the percentage of those that, you know, come and start figuring it out, and those that come but are also more into entrepreneurship? Either they had a business back home, or they, you know, they're familiar with being an entrepreneur. I'd like to hear more about that.
You know what? It's funny you mentioning that. I have a young friend, and I actually call her my younger sister, and she's from Nigeria. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. She came here with a master's, and she decided she is going to be an entrepreneur and start her own business and work on that. And it's interesting that when immigrants go to a new country, and I've seen it with others I've spoken with and worked with, once they set their minds to something, they do it.
Right.
Because going to a new country, you really have the opportunity to start fresh. It's a second life. You can change what you've done. There are so many possibilities. And I see it especially with older women. The kids are out of the house now, and they are so ready to show the world they have what it takes to succeed as an older woman. And then I see it with the younger generation who are in their 30s and 40s, and even those in the 20s and teenagers. They are working so hard. So to give you an idea, there was this young Chinese kid, and he was about 14, and he asked if he could wash my windows, my house windows, about 2 years ago. And I said, okay, but are you allowed to do this? You're only 14. He said, no, my mom will drop me off and she will pick me up. So he did that, working hard, working, knocking on doors, doing any menial labor while being in the advanced program at school, being a hockey player, a hockey coach at 14. It's 2 years later. That kid now is running his own business with a few of his school friends.
Oh, wow.
And they work for him. He's 16. They go, they clean snow, they do garden work, they wash the windows, they do anything you ask them to do. And he is running a company at 16. So to give you an idea, I have so many friends that I've come across. One of the ladies that started Women Talk Canada, she was in a completely different career path. And she's a serial entrepreneur, but she realized that the stories that people tell, the stories that women tell themselves, are important. Because once you tell someone else's story, you tell yourself, then you realize maybe it's not the true picture. So these are just examples of people with entrepreneurs. And at the end of the day, We are all able to do this. We can do this. We can do anything we set our minds to. But you have to be prepared to work hard.
Mm-hmm.
You need to put in the time. Right? You cannot expect, I am going to make money by just sitting in front of my computer mm-hmm. and, I don't know, going on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Some kids make a lot of money, but it can come crashing down very easily. So the other thing is that being an entrepreneur gives you the opportunity to veer in different directions at the same time. So you can have multiple streams of income at the same time. Whereas when you work just at one company, it is a way to survive, and that is the way we all have been raised, right? Mm-hmm. That you have to work 9 to 5 or whatever, and it is a way to survive. And if that is what you want to do, it's great. But I see the future as multiple opportunities for the world to evolve into something spectacular if we allow ourselves to evolve.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. You know, and one thing I also believe that makes immigrants such successful entrepreneurs that just go after it is because most of the time, number one, they're underdogs. No one was waiting for them to come and do whatever they do. Number two, oftentimes they have their back against the wall. They spent whatever they had to get to this new place. They mm-hmm. left everything or sold everything. And, you know, now it's like, okay, I'm all in on this. If I don't make it work, then there is no future for me. So I go all in and make it work regardless of what's going to take, how much time and energy and focus it's going to take. And I make it work.
Absolutely. I don't want to say it's desperation. I want to say it's determination.
Mm-hmm.
We are determined to make things work in our new countries. We are determined to prove that we are allowed to be in our new countries.
That is so true. So, but you know, there are also those that are not so successful or cannot get to where they set their minds to.
No.
What do you think separates those who are successful and the ones who, you know, cannot just succeed on whatever their goals and plans were? What's the difference between the two?
Many cultures, when they are allowed in a new country, they come on the basis of basically the man can work in the new country and the woman cannot.
Mm-hmm.
So they rely on that. Now, Canada is very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Housing is at a premium. You pay high taxes. Schools are beginning to get very full, and people are struggling to survive in a country where almost half of your income goes to the government. So they say that you do have health care, but people wait 2-3 years long for surgeries. So that universal health care system, even though it's available, it's very hard to come by. So if you are in an emergency situation, you will be helped though.
Mm-hmm.
So coming here, because it's so expensive, and I think because even though you have your education, even though you have your qualifications, your experience, when you start at corporate companies or wherever you go to, you get started on a lower rate. You do not get paid what you deserve to be paid. You have to work your way up. So as a breadwinner in a new country with a wife and with children, it's really tough. So what happens? The women go and start doing menial labor.
Oh, wow.
To be able to survive.
Mm.
Now, doing menial labor is all good and well, because I believe whatever you do, it shows you have pride.
Mm-hmm.
But people get bogged down in trying to survive. And that's when they lose their dreams. They lose their focus. And in the end, they just want to survive.
Mm.
They just want to be able to pay their bills.
Mm.
And, you know, you must have seen it while you were in the US as well. It's easy for people to make debt and to be allowed to make debt. So then people are stuck in that conundrum of debt, of trying to pay off bills, of trying to survive. And it's awful. It's awful. And we as societies, we should start probably, should have started already a long time ago to look at this, that we can help immigrants become the best they can be. Otherwise, why would you allow, as a government, why would you allow people to come to your country to work and to suffer?
Mm.
You know, they're legal. They paid for everything,
mm.
for the lawyer's fees, for the, you know, the move and the flights and to put up a new house. So I feel that our governments all across the globe, there is some work to be done,
mm-hmm.
because of that.
100%. And you know what? I also believe that once you get stuck in this rat race, mm-hmm. and you work and then you have bills to pay and everything, at some point, number one, you get too used to that, let's say, social level, whatever that social level might be. And then what you think and believe with time is, these financially wealthy people, that's reserved for certain type of people. It's not for me. It's for them, which is totally not true. We both know that is not reserved to certain level of people. It's accessible for anyone, you know. But as you said, you need this education to know, in order to get there, I need to work hard and I need to work smart. But it's accessible to anyone who wants to get there and is willing to do the work.
And that is why when I talk to women, I tell them, and the kids as well, there are so many free courses
mm.
you can do, and you can go to a library mm-hmm. to do it. You can sign up and you can learn. You can go to the immigrant centers and learn sewing, you know, learn a new skill, just something that will keep your mind occupied. Because mm. by learning a new skill, by being with other women, you become friends and you learn how to survive.
Mm.
It's interesting. We as human beings during COVID, I think because we all were forced to hunker down, it made us realize that I don't want to be around people anymore. I think I can do it all by myself because I survived for 2 years, exactly. which is not the case.
Mm.
We need people. We mm. need that human connection. We have to be able to make contact with other people. We have to get out and go for a walk and just experience life. Otherwise, when you become a recluse, I think you lose a little bit of your humanity, where you forget what it means that we are here to experience something. Mm-hmm. We are here to learn and grow from others. And it is almost selfish by taking away that opportunity for someone else to help you grow by staying away from people.
Mm-hmm.
So I truly believe that it's up to us, it's up to the individuals to shift your mind, you know, to shift your mind and to really focus on being aware. I make the choice to give up.
Mm-hmm.
I make the choice to reach out. I make the choice to try and try and try again. I make the choice. No one does it for me. I do it.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. And I also believe, you know, what is whatever. So if you want to pursue something, if you want to create a business, a company, what is accessible to you and I is also accessible to so many other people in the Western world. So, but here is the thing. At some point, everybody has this in mind. Oh, I want to do this. I want to create this business. Then people get started. Then guess what? They find out, oh, it's not as easy as it was told to me on social media and on YouTube, right? So then some stop. Some people continue. Then they get hit with all these financial challenges and all these things that come, you know, if you have a team of employees, if you're building a team of employees, if you're working with vendors and so on, they get challenged by that. Then more people stop. And I believe it's basically like a marathon. You know, the further you're willing to go, the more successful you are, because you have decided that giving up is not an option for me. And I will go as far as it gets in order to create what I set my mind to.
Exactly. I just prior to when I did my TEDx talk, I published a small pocketbook that's called Surviving Culture Shock. And in there, I talk about how easy it is to want to hide when you're in a new country. You know, you think by hiding, nothing works for you. You don't get anywhere, that it's now the end of the world and you hate your new country. It's not the country's fault. As we both said in the beginning, we are guests. Until you become a citizen in that country, you are a guest. So it's up to you to change your life. It's not up to the country. It's up to you to search out your, you know, where you want to go, whether it's for your religion or whether it's for your workouts or schools. It's your choice. You can do that. But no one else is going to make that decision for you. You have to make it. And that is what people don't quite realize. You need to take the first step. And only then, you know, Helen Keller said something, and I believe in that. And that quote comes to me time and again. And she said, alone, we can do so little, but together, we can do so much. We need to be around other people to be able to see what is possible.
Absolutely, 100%. So is your work, by the way, based around, focused more around immigrants that are in Canada, or is it also focused on US or maybe even worldwide?
It's worldwide.
Oh, wow.
Anyone, because the same principles will be able to apply worldwide. But again, you know, you need to want to do this. No one is going to take your hand and beg you to go to a library and to learn new skills, how to work Excel, for example, or how to write in a Word document. No one is going to take your hand to do that. You need to make that decision. No one is going to take your hand and say, go volunteer at the school. You know, go talk to the kids about your experience as an immigrant. Decide what you want to do. And I think it's applicable all over the world today. At the end of the day, it's like you decided you're going to move to a different country now.
Right.
It was your decision, but it's also your decision with your reasons and how you're going to fit in.
Absolutely. We create the life we want. I 100% believe in that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Irma, I could go on and on and on, but I also want to be respectful of your time. And yeah, so please tell our audience. I mean, we're going to have your links in the show notes so people can find you and reach out to you. But also for those listening and watching, please tell them where they can reach out and get in contact with you.
They could go to my website, irmagoosen.com, and there are actually also links to some of the talks I've done on immigration, because the important talks on the big stages, I decided I'm going to show in my on my website. And then as well, LinkedIn, I feel that a lot of my contacts I have connected with through LinkedIn. So I am there as well. And then, of course, social media.
Perfect. We will definitely link you up in the show notes. Once again, thank you so much for taking the time. It was an honor speaking with you and having your wisdom shared with our audience. So, I definitely look keeping in contact with you and maybe at some point in the future having you back on. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Ali, for having me. It was great chatting with you. What's close to my heart. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.